Let's read 1 Kings 19. Oh yeah, and Anya and I spoke in the car. There's a women's event coming. So she's planning something. So something to look forward to. 1 Kings 19. Let's read from verse 1. I'm reading out of the New International Version. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done. What happened here is Elijah killed almost 1,000 of the prophets of Baal on a mountain. Because these people influenced Israel and they led their hearts astray. So they were not serving the true God. And so Elijah, just go and read this for homework. It's a beautiful story to read actually. But how Elijah had this challenge, bring your prophets and I'll be on that mountain and let's see whose God is God. And it's beautiful. And so they lost the challenge and so he killed almost 1,000 of their prophets. And so now Ahab was an evil king. And he told Jezebel, an evil woman, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel, verse 2, sent a messenger to Elijah, the man of God, the prophet, to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. So she was threatening his life. And Elijah was afraid. I want you to underline that, verse 3. Elijah was afraid. And he ran for his life. I don't know if you've ever felt like running for your life. You got some news and fear gripped your heart and you wanted to run for the mountains. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And that's what happens when you run. You find yourself in a wilderness. And he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. I don't know if anybody in this place ever felt like that, that there's no hope, no tomorrow. And he said to God, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And then he lay down and he fell asleep. He took some Prozac. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And isn't it incredible that even though he was in the wilderness, God still prepared food for him? Isn't that just awesome? And there might be people here, you are in a wilderness internally somewhere in your life. And the good news is God's kitchen is still open. And he will prepare you some good food. Verse 6, and he looked around and there by his head, the sign of authority, was some bread baked over some coals and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank. And he lay down again because he told God, I don't want to do this thing. Verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up, he ate and he drank, he strengthened. By that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb. How do you pronounce that in English? Horeb. The mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and he spent the night. Ask the person sitting next to you, are you in a cave? And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Has God ever asked you a question? Just remember, whenever God asks you a question, he's not looking for an answer. He's asking you a question because he wants to make you think. What are you doing here? He replied, verse 10, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, put your prophets to death. I'm the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. And he was wrong because there were 6,000 left. But that's what fear does. Fear and panic allows you to lose perception. So his perspective was thwarted because of his fear. 6,000 were left, not only himself. It's like when you go through a tough time, you think it's only you going through a tough time. Then there's millions like you going through a tough time. Verse 11. The Lord said, go out. Stand on the mountain. I want you to underline that if you can. Go out and stand. Go out and stand. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and it shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake there came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, underline that because we're going to get to this. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said in verse 14, I've been zealous for the Lord. And he repeated what he said before. I'm the only one left. They want to kill me too. But it's only a woman that wants to kill him. But I've realized, if you're in trouble with a man, it's one thing. If you're in trouble with a woman, you've got problems. Verse 15. Yeah, and all the married men are just quiet. They just say nothing. They just like, I'm not part of this conversation. The Lord said to him, verse 15, go back the way you came. The title of my word this morning, family, is I am no cave dweller. I am no cave dweller. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid. The mightiest people on this planet gets afraid. We're talking about the same guy who had room service every day of his life. The Bible says that ravens came to feed him. He had room service every day of his life. He lived near a brook. He didn't pay water, didn't pay electricity. He was living the life. He was in a good space. We're talking about Elijah, the guy that goes up on a mountain and he challenges 850 false prophets. And he pulls down fire from heaven. From nowhere, he pulls down fire. The Bible says that the fire even consumed the rocks on the mountain. Elijah, the fire-calling prophet. The guy who fears nothing, fed by ravens. And the Bible says, and Elijah was afraid. And what is so amazing about the story is, and that's why I love the Bible and the characters in the Bible, because they are people just like us. Anybody can be afraid. You can be the CEO of a big company and you can be afraid. You can be a world title boxer and you can be afraid. Something can trigger fear in you at any point. But what is so neat for me about this is God did not disqualify him for feeling fear. God didn't say to him, now that you're afraid, I cannot minister to you. As a matter of fact, God ministered to him in his fearful state. So don't allow charismatic thinking or charismatic believing to have you believe that when you are fearful, God cannot come through for you. Because the best Christians can be afraid. And you can know your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, walk into your work tomorrow, there's an email in your inbox, and you can walk out of your cubicle with fear in your heart. And you know what the Bible says from Genesis to Revelation, but there's fear in you, and I want you to know that even if you're afraid, it won't stop God from still ministering to you. Don't let it bring separation. But there's a principle here. And the principle is this. If the enemy cannot kill you, it will try and intimidate you. If they cannot work you out, they will try and intimidate you out. Intimidation. I don't know if you ever felt intimidated in your life. If he can't make a corpse out of you, he will try and make you a fugitive. He will try and get you to run. Run for your life. That's what the Bible says Elijah did. The Bible says he ran for his life. It gets worse. He started to run from his life. That's why God eventually at the cave asked him, what are you doing here? This is not the life that I've planned for you. I didn't plan for you to be in a wilderness. I did not plan for you to be in a cave. But guess what? I've been with you wherever you went. And now I am here to ask you one question. What are you doing here? And I'm asking you this question because I want to get you to think that you did not only run for your life, but you ran from your life. You ran from your own sanity. You ran from everything that really makes sense. You even ran from your own perspective because you're not really the only one that's left. There are 6,000 of you who are left. But you ran so hard that you ran yourself out of a sound mind. You didn't even think straight, Elijah. So if the enemy cannot make a corpse out of you, he will try and make you a fugitive. To just run and run and run. So he eventually ran into the wilderness. If you look at the definition of a wilderness is an uncultivated, uninhabited, and inhospitable place. Uncultivated meaning that there's no future prospects. Uninhabited means it's lonely and isolated, and inhospitable means that if you overstay, you will die. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in this place where you started running for your life. And you ran so bad that eventually you ended up in a place, in a space, in your mind, a space in your heart where you feel there's no future left. I'm feeling lonely and isolated. I don't know if somebody here today has ever been there. And the news that I have for you is this. If you overstay, you're going to die. God will allow us to go into the wilderness. He will even allow us to go into the cave. But he really wants to whisper something to us because if you overstay, you might become a bat. And we're not going to call you Batman. That's for sure. Here is the great thing about God. That no matter when you run into the wilderness or even if you run into a cave, wherever you are, God will sustain you. A place where others will judge you and weigh you and criticize you. A place where other people won't even follow you. They won't come looking for you. Is a place where God will sustain you. Even if you're not where you're supposed to be. You're totally off course. You're outside of God's plan. He will still sustain you. I want you to say to the person sitting next to you, God is sustaining you. And that's why David wrote a psalm where he says that even if I make my bed in a hell, even there you are. Even if I make my bed in an inhospitable, uninhabited, and uncultivated place and uncultivated circumstances, even there you will find me and you will sustain me. I need you to know that God is with you. So there are three principles I want to bring from Elijah's story, and I'm going to send you home with this. The first, for those of you taking notes, is 1 Kings 19 verse 5. The first time that the angels woke him up and said, get up and eat. So if you're taking notes, you can just write down, it's time to eat. The Bible says they made him bread. It's significant. It didn't say that God baked him some meat. God didn't make him some pork chops. Baked him some bread. Why? Because bread in the Bible is always a symbol of God's word. And so when the Holy Spirit say to you this morning is, it's time to eat, then the Holy Spirit is saying to you, it's time to get some word into you. The only thing that can sustain you when your life is being threatened, when you got a bad report concerning your health or your business or your family or something that you're going through in your life, the only thing that's going to keep you sane will be the word of God. It's time to eat. What is the promise that God has over your life. I know that some bad stuff hit your life, but what is the promise that God spoke over you last year this time? Do you even record the promises that God speaks over your life? Because it's in times where the enemy wants to drive you into the wilderness where you have to have some bread with you. Because that's the only thing that can really sustain you. You have to feed yourself on God's promises and on God's word. Some people, when they go through a tough time in their lives, their courage is malnourished. And the question that you can ask yourself this morning is, do I feed my courage? Am I feeding my faith? Or am I giving in to the threats that I see all around me? The only thing that will sustain you when you are in the wilderness is bread. What is the word of God concerning this thing in my life? Point number two. I only have three, so we're moving. Point number two, and you're going to find this in verse 11. Go out and stand. You are no cave dweller. Go out and stand. Why should I go out and stand? Because I'm about to whisper. Go out and stand. You remember I said to you, verse 13, then a voice said to him, significant. Why? Here's why. It doesn't say, then God's voice said to him. It's as if the writer of this, it's as if the author is in Elijah's mind. And he's telling us something from Elijah's perspective. That Elijah heard something, but he was not sure if it was God or not. So Elijah knows that a voice spoke to him. But he doesn't say it was God speaking to him. All he knows is he heard a voice. Significant. Because when you go through a tough time in your life, you feel a disconnect from God. True or not? When you are going through a tough time in your life and you feel that your faith is not on par, what is the thing that you fear the most? Well, this is the thing that I fear the most. Will I be able to hear God speak in my turmoil? Your heart can be in such turmoil when you go through a tough time that you may doubt, question your ability to hear God in your chaos. Elijah, in my opinion, was in such a place of spiritual disconnect that he was not sure if the voice that he heard was God or not. But when you are in a cave, you are so desperate for encouragement. You are so desperate for an answer. You are so desperate for something that you will hear that will make sense, that you will take a voice as God's voice. And a voice spoke to him. So I've got my dream journal here. In this dream journal, I've got two things. The one is my dream journal, and the other one on my computer is a folder that's called Evergreen Folder. And everything that goes into Evergreen Folder is when somebody sends me a text via email, WhatsApp, they talk to me in the car, whatever. And this comes from 2016. Because this boy felt such a disconnect and was so desperate, he would take any voice as God's voice. There were times that people would send me a slogan that is positive, or a scripture, or just something where I think of you. And what I would do is, I would put it on my computer, or run to the printer, print it out, and I would put it in my dream journal. So Willie sent me this the other day, the 24th of August. Die Here sê, hy is lief vir jou, jy is kosbaar vir hom, jy is die appel van sy oog. And when he sent that, I was standing at the mouth of a cave. And a voice you feel such a disconnect. You can't even say it's God. You don't feel no goosebumps. You don't see no angel. You're looking for signs, but the signs, God is not in it. Elijah was looking for the signs. God was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. He was not in the shaking. He was not in the smoke. He was in none of that. Elijah, if you're going to look for magic, you're going to miss me. Because for this one, I'm only going to whisper. And he's standing there. And he's hearing something. He doesn't know if it's God. But it's making sense. He doesn't know if it's God. But it encourages him. He doesn't know if it's God. But at least he's got some conversation going. Because in the wilderness, it's been isolated and he's been alone. He got tired of his own voice. At least there's dialogue going on. So I don't know who this voice is. But I'm so desperate. I'm so desperate for sanity. I'm so desperate for an answer. That I will allow this voice to speak. And you know what? It's God. It's God speaking all along. And he's speaking through a song. And he's speaking through a friend. And he's speaking through a poem. And he's speaking through a word that you see on a billboard when you drive on the highway. And the word just catches you and you think about this word. And you don't even realize that God was sending an angel and sitting there on top of the billboard. Allowing you to see that word. A voice. Because that's what my girl needs right now. That's what my boy needs right now. Are you sustaining yourself with bread? So in my dream journal, we as a family, we do communion. We try and do communion from a Monday to a Friday. Everybody gets a turn to share. And so I'm trying to recap what it is that's being shared. And so I wrote some of this down. One night, Anya shared where we should call on the greatness of God in everything that we do. Roep God se grootheid aan alles wat jy doen beplan. The other night, it was Thursday night, I think, that's passed. Zoe ministered on. He satisfies your desires with good things. There was another night where Anya ministered. We need to release and surrender the burden that we carry to God and he will make it weightless. This past Thursday, again, Zoe ministered on. He takes you by the right hand and he helps you. You know, so that whenever there's a discouragement that wants to take hold of my heart, I just eat the bread? Are you eating bread? Are you reminding yourself of the promises of God, of the Word of God? The enemy is trying to convince you that you are so disconnected from God and you've wandered so far off course that your hearing is impaired. When times are good, you know it's God speaking. When times are not so good, you're not sure if it's speaking, but you're still hearing something. And even if it's only a voice, it's still God speaking. God said to him, "What are you doing here?" God was saying to him, how does a mountain climber become a cave dweller? You're the same guy. You've been on the mountain. Now you're inside the mountain. That's the paradox of life. How one day, you can be right up here. And the next, you're hiding from the threats of your life. And God doesn't have a problem with any of that because He knows that people are going to go through this kind of stuff. And so He's there. He's at your cave. He's at your cave. I didn't make you to be a cave dweller. I made you to be a mountain climber. And so, why was God in the whisper? Why was God not in the fire? Why was God not in the wind? Why was God not in the earthquake? Why was God in the whisper? Because I can only whisper. And God was saying to Elijah, the enemy tried to convince you that when you go through something bad, that we're not connected. We're so close, even in your turmoil, that you can still hear me, even if I only whisper. Enemy is trying to convince you that there is such a disconnect. You will never in your life ever be able to hear God speak ever again. The Bible says you heard something. Your hearing is never impaired because you're a child of God. And that's why David said, even when I make my bed in hell, even there, I can hear the whisper. Enemy is trying to say to you that when your bed is in hell, God is not there. That's why you're in hell, because God is not. It only takes a whisper. He's here with me. The reason why God could allow Daniel to be put in the lion's den is because God knew he was going to go with him there. The reason why he could allow Daniel and his friends to be put in the fiery furnace is because he knew he was going to go with them. And the reason why you are where you are is because God knew He was going to travel with you. And He is with you. No matter what you are going through. And if the enemy is trying to say to you, see, God is not with you because where's the earthquake? There's no earthquake in your life. There's no fire in your life. Then you go like, I don't need this. In this instance, all we need is a whisper. That's how close. Yes. say to the person standing next to you, come out. And so I close with number three. Oh, let me just say this about coming out. The Bible says, come out and stand. The reason why God calls us out of the cave is because the cave is a dark place, and evil breeds in darkness. Can you remember when you were a kid? You were fine as long as the lights were on. The moment it goes dark, you see all kinds of shapes and forms. And you're like, oh my Lord, what's going on? Same room, same bed. Mummy was just here a while ago. But the moment the lights go down, why? Because evil festers in darkness. And God was saying to him, I want you to come out of the cave, because for as long as you keep yourself in darkness, you're going to see some shapes and some stuff that's not really true. You're going to hallucinate. I want to free your life from hallucination. I want to tell you the truth. The devil is going to shout his lies, but I'm going to whisper my truths. So come out of the cave. Heard the story of a dad that took his two boys to bed. And he said to them, you want me to tell you a story before you sleep? They said, yes. The younger one said, so he says, what kind of story do you want me to tell you? Do you want me to tell you a scary story? And the younger one said, you can tell us a scary story as long as you keep the lights on. So bring all your scary stuff. Just keep the lights on. Come out, because I am light. And no matter what scary stuff is going on around you, it can't really be that scary the moment that you're in the presence of light. The Bible says, verse 15, go back the way you came. God was saying to Elijah, get back to work. You can't sit here forever. You can't allow the stuff that bullied you into this spot. You can't give power to it any longer. I need you to go back the way you came. Elijah, it's time to get fuel in the car. It's time to pack your bags. It's time to close the doors to this thing. If you're going to overstay, this thing is really going to drive you nuts. So I'm here to whisper to you and put some sense into you. My word is your bread, is your sustenance. Go back to work. God was saying to Elijah, get back to life. Get back to dreaming. Get back to laughing. Get back to living life again. Elijah, get back to doing your thing, because I'm with you. Get back to loving. Get back to forgiving. Get back to dreaming. Get back to putting one foot in front of the other, because that's how you make progress. God was saying to Elijah, I'm healing you of paralysis. Whatever got you to this place where you didn't want to move, I'm touching your heart and I'm touching your head, and that will relate to movement in your limbs. Elijah, whatever paralyzed you, I'm here to tell you that movement has come. Go back to life. Go back to trusting again, even if there will be some people who will violate your trust. Go back to loving again, even if there will be people who will not love you back. Go back to forgiving again, even if there will be people that will violate your mind and your heart above what you could have imagined. Go back the way you came.
you came. Go back to life. Go back to dreaming again, even if some of your dreams won't even come to pass. Even if some of your dreams will be shattered. Even if some of your dreams will be blown out of the water. I want you to go back to life. Go back to dreaming. Go back to trusting. Go back to loving. Go back to where you once again will dare put the one foot in front of the other. Dare live again, Elijah. Get up from this place. Whatever paralyzed you to be here is being put under arrest by my whisper. Get up from this place and be the conqueror that you are. Be the mighty man that you are. Be the great businessman, the great businesswoman, or the minister of the gospel that you are. The focused person that you are. The decisive person that you are. You are no cave dweller. Say to the person sitting next to you, you are no cave dweller. I want you to stand with me. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the gentle whisper of grace and that the gentle whisper of encouragement, that the gentle whisper of hope, even if it's only a trickle that you're feeling, I'm hearing something. The voice that I'm hearing is only a voice. While it's speaking to you for a reason. I pray that the gentle whisper of God will bring to naught every noise in your life that is not from Him. Whatever white noise is in your mind, whatever white noise is in your heart, I bring it under arrest in the name of Jesus. And may the gentle whisper of peace, may the gentle voice that says everything is going to be just fine, the gentle whisper that says everything is going to work out in your favor because you are my child, may that gentle whisper heal you of paralysis. And whatever got you stuck in this cave, whatever got you stuck in this wilderness that you just could not move, may that gentle voice be your healing. In Jesus' name. Now will you raise your hands and just say to the Lord, I'm coming out. I'm coming out crying, Lord. Some of you are limping out. There are people listening by podcast. You are leopard crawling out. Because life has really hit you hard. There are people listening to this word. You have to feel your way out. Because you've been betrayed like a Samson and your eyes cannot see. You don't see no vision. You don't see no future. You don't see no outcome out of this thing that you're in. You are feeling your way out. Just come out. There are others of you that need to be carried out by friends. You've been so paralyzed. Will you put your hand on the shoulder of the person standing next to you? Lord, may this hand on this person's shoulder be the strength that they needed for this moment to just come out of this cave. Now, in the name of Jesus, hear the whisper. Set your heart free from the prison of your past. I de-anchor your soul from past trauma. I liberate your mind from things that were said. Be the man and the woman that He made you to be. You are not the paralyzed, fearful individual who's living in a cave. That was only a lie. He's sending you back on your way. He's been with you in the wilderness. He's been tracking you down in your cave. He's been with you all this time. He's been sticking with you closer than a brother. Because He prepared this moment for you. You are a mighty one. 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 You are loved. You are dearly loved. You are apple of my eye. You are mine, and I am yours. I bless you with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I bless you with the joy of the Holy Spirit, which is your strength. I bless you with the protection and the ministry of God's holy and beautiful angels. May His angels come and feed you bread. I bless your land with multiple harvests and your hands with fruitful work. I bless your life with significance and success and momentum and with acceleration. I bless you to be an incredible Christian and a pillar of strength and hope for God's end time church, even this church. Now may the grace of God and the love of the Lord Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this coming week until we see each other next week, Sunday. Amen. And amen. God's presence is so thick you can cut it with a knife.